Imagine a world in which federal employees work at will, at the pleasure of their supervisors, where there's no more defined benefit pension, where there's less collective bargaining, and a member of Congress could go after your salary personally. It all could happen, judging with what's going on in Congress right now. For a roundup of the creepy crawlies, Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President at ICF International and former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. And Jeff, your blog on this topic, Six Ways Congress Might Be Wrecking Civil Service, to put it briefly, has really garnered a lot of hits. And tell us what you think could happen here and what the consequences might be.
Hi, Tom. I think there are a number of things that could happen. And what I did is I actually started looking at where there had been legislation introduced in recent years, or where there have been very direct comments from members of Congress about things they intended to do. So these aren't a list of things that I just made up. I think the things that we're likely to see would probably start with pay freeze. If you look at what comes out of some of the conservative think tanks like the Heritage Foundation or the Cato Institute, they've been arguing for a long time that their view is that federal employees are overpaid. I don't agree with them, but that's what they've been arguing, and I think they have a lot of folks on the Hill who listen to them. So a pay freeze is something that would be relatively easy to impose, and I would expect to see that. There's also been a lot of talk about due process, you know, how easy it is to fire a federal employee. And I think that's a problem that a lot of people agree that it's too hard to get rid of somebody who's not performing or who's engaging in misconduct. But there are a lot of different approaches to it. You know, there was a VA bill called the VA Accountability First and Appeals Modernization Act of 2016 that did pass the House last year. Expect to see that reintroduced this year. The VA accountability bill would be a template, I think, for how due process might be reformed.
And how would it work?
It did pass. Well, what it does is it mainly focuses on reducing the notice period from 30 days to 10, reducing the time that employees have to appeal to MSPB from 30 days to 7. And then, most importantly, I think it requires MSPB to issue decisions within 60 days. And if they don't, then the adverse action becomes a final decision. That bill also added a little more deference to agency head decisions. And so it changes how MSPB would look at a decision on an appeal. And when you look at that, when some employees would look at it and say, well, I don't like having all these times reduced, the alternative that's being proposed in Congress is from an Indiana Republican named Todd Rokita. And he did one last year that he said he's going to reintroduce this year, called the Promote Accountability in Government Efficiency Act, that would make all federal employees who are hired at will. And it says very specifically that people could be fired for good cause, bad cause, or no cause at all. And my view on that is, if you make all the federal employees at will, in effect, what you've done is you've said they're political appointees, because they could be fired anytime for any reason, whether it's a good cause or not. And I don't think I'm particularly enthusiastic about having 2 million more political appointees. I don't know if you have a different view on that, but it seems like it would be not a good thing.
Well, essentially, then, that would undo Title V of the U.S. Code.
It would undo that. And even though it says it provides some protections against prohibited personnel practices, you know, the way an employee who believes they've been treated unfairly can justify that it was unfair is to show that there really wasn't any good cause for what happened. When you have an underlying bill that says you don't have to have good cause, you can do it for any reason, then it makes it very difficult to prove that there was something illegal going on. The other thing that I think happens with at-will employment, and I think this is a really important thing, is that I think whistleblowers would basically dry up and go away. You would not see anybody engaging in whistleblowing anymore, because people would know that an employee could be fired, you know, for looking at their boss cross-eyed, and anything could get you fired. So I think what we would see is the number of people who are actually willing to take a principled stand and blow the whistle when something bad is going on, that number would vanish. We wouldn't see whistleblowers anymore.
We're speaking with Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President for ICF International. The pay freeze, the change completely in due process, that's on the book. There's a couple of others I think are worth mentioning, in particular the Holman Rule, which nobody knows who Holman was, or I haven't looked it up, but it goes back to 1876, and now it's part of the House rules for the current session.
It is, and the Holman Rule has been around for a very long time. It went away, and now it's back. It was actually enacted prior to the competitive civil service happening with the Pendleton Act. So this is a very old rule. And what it does is it specifically addresses appropriations bill, which is where the money comes from. And what it says is that any member of the House can submit an amendment to an appropriations bill to reduce expenditures. And that's either to cut the amount of money in the bill in total, to reduce the salaries of federal employees, or to reduce the compensation of any person paid by the Treasury by name and by position. So, you know, the effect of that is let's say a member didn't like some employee in HUD. They could simply propose an amendment, and if they could get it to pass, they could reduce that employee's pay to $1 a year.
That strikes me as the Anton Chekhov gun on the wall. It's there, and somebody's going to fire it.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think you're exactly right. It's what I would expect to see is, remember the IRS issue that came up a couple years ago, and they were going after an executive, IRS executive named Lois Lerner.
Right.
I could see in a case like that someone attaching an amendment to an IRS appropriation that says her position would be paid $1 a year and force her out of government by doing that. You could also use it if you had an agency that, you know, that someone really wanted to gut. They could simply say, we're going to reduce the salaries of employees in that agency by 50%. And so there are a lot of things you could do with the Holman Rule. The problem, I think, with that, in addition to it probably not being good government, that the problem is that when you start attaching amendments like that to appropriations bills, it makes them much less likely they're going to pass. And you and I have both seen what's happened in the last few years with appropriations is when the ability to do earmarks went away, the lubricant that made the appropriations machine work kind of dried up. And I think this is just one more way of gumming up the works in the appropriations process. I think that's the reason the Speaker of the House actually didn't support the Holman Rule when they were negotiating the rules. He wasn't in favor of it. Because I think we'll probably see a lot of these amendments, but it's not necessarily true that they're going to pass. And it could cause appropriations bills to just not pass at all.
I guess we could call this the sand in the dry gears rule. That would be a better way to put it. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. Jeff, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me here.
We'll have a link to his latest blog with all six of the dangers facing the federal workforce and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.